Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Arcino. We are broadcasting live from the historic Jay Estate in Rye, New York, the Jay Heritage Center. We are, of course, produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower, Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accorda Therapeutics. We are here for the launch of the revolutionary Westchester 250, educating people about the real men and women behind America's independence. Our first two guests today, you guys look absolutely fantastic. We have Ian Bell and Brian Dennis. They are both reenactors with the Hearts of Oak Militia. Guys, really glad to start off the show with you two. As soon as you guys came in, you guys were very easy to see, and I had to get you on here. Thanks for being a part of the show today.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Of course. Yeah, now, you guys, we talked a little bit before this. You guys are pros. You guys have been interviewed before, so you're kind of stars, and you're continuing the media tour. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. Obviously, you're big history buffs from just the conversations I was just hearing. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and why the revolution really means so much to you guys.
Okay, so it all kind of started when Hamilton came out. That's when it really bounced off. I used to love, like, dressing up in this kind of clothes, like those cheap stores on the internet. And then I went to go see Hamilton, and I was like, oh, I want to do that. And then, like, I originally wanted to fire guns in that period, but then I couldn't because I'm really young. But
you've got a sword, though.
I do have
a sword.
So that's
a nice thing to start off with, right?
I do. Yeah, it is a very – I love this sword. It is a nice sword. Yeah, but, like, I've been doing this for about 2.5 years now,
cool.
And I've always loved it, so.
All right, and then, Brian, what about you?
What got me interested in the Revolutionary War was in fifth grade when we learned about American history, and I remember learning about that, and I'm like, whoa, this is interesting, I want to do that. So then I went to my first reenactment at Boston Tea Party, and I was like, well, I want to do that one day. And then I went to Old Sturbridge Village, which is in Massachusetts. And then I saw one of the guys. And I was asking him questions about how to join. And then this is how I got interested in this, because of him, now I'm here.
It's really cool, and it's so important, I think, for young people to know their history. And you guys obviously do. I mean, you could just see how much care there are in these uniforms. Tell us a little about the work that goes into this. Do you guys work on these? Do you make them? Is there a company? How do you guys get these great uniforms?
Okay, so these are some stuff that we've actually created ourselves. We have a teacher. His name is Eric. He's been doing this for, like, I think 20 years. That's going off of intuition. But the breeches were made off of him. He's very good at sewing, like, surprisingly good. This jacket was made out of another guy in New York that is very good at sewing as well. He just started Revolutionary War. I don't think he's with us today, but there is also this waistcoat was made by me, I have some shoes, and these were made by, I don't know who these were made by, actually. They're like breeches, but
cool.
They're really cool. They keep you warm. The only thing I hate is that gloves, they're kind of hard to find.
To match the period.
To match the period, yeah. So, like, there are places to find gloves, but you need fingerless gloves to have, like, that, so you can play the instruments that we do. And so, yeah, that's kind of...
Brian, what about you? How about...
My uniform, I didn't make any of it. I'm making the backpack right now, but I bought everything.
Cool.
I bought everything off people who did make it.
Well, you're dressed in the Heart of Oak. You're both part of the Heart of Oak Militia, got the Heart of Oak actual militia uniform on
right now. This is what Hamilton wore.
Cool. Is Hamilton your favorite Revolutionary War figure?
No.
Who is your favorite?
King George III.
Okay, that is an interesting answer. King George III. Why is King George III your favorite revolutionary character?
Because I like the British better.
Interesting. You like the British better. Wow. Yeah, why do you like the British better?
Because they look better on the field. Like they were, they all synchronized.
I don't think people could dispute that. You think because the organization and the expert level of their military, that's what does it for you?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then. Who's your favorite British general from the war?
General Howe.
General Howe. A lot of people like to critique General Howe, but I think sometimes it's a little bit unfair. What about you? Who's your favorite revolutionary figure, Ian?
So fourth grade, I started doing a project about, we had to pick a character out of the hat from the American Revolution, which is kind of where it actually started. But I picked out Benedict Arnold, and since then, I've actually really enjoyed like learning about him and how his struggles in the war and how he had to turn from... American side to the British side because no one would have given him credit for anything of his amazing skills in the battlefield.
Well, absolutely. You know, and you guys really do know your stuff, and I think a lot of people out there don't understand that Benedict Arnold really was one of the best American commanders in the war. America probably wouldn't have won the war if it wasn't for Benedict Arnold, what he did at the battles of Saratoga.
And the French
absolutely
came from that.
He was a tremendously talented commander.
Like at the Battle of Saratoga, he was shot in his leg.
Yes.
And like if he died there, he was like going to be like the greatest hero in American history.
Absolutely.
But since he didn't, he's now known as the greatest traitor in American history.
It's true. A lot of people have written books about him, obviously, and he's kind of walks that line where American hero / traitor, because he was very, very brave. He was very talented. Have you guys been to many Revolutionary War battlefields?
Yeah.
Have you been to Saratoga? Have you seen the Saratoga Monument? That because if you know about Benedict Arnold, the Saratoga Monument is very cool. The four people who were very responsible for the victory at Saratoga, obviously you have Horatio Gates, you have Daniel Morgan, Benedict Arnold, and of course Philip Schuyler. There's four statues for them in this thing called the Saratoga Monument, but Benedict Arnold is empty, and the emptiness is meant to suggest his place. He should have been there, but because of his later betrayal, he wasn't there. Sounds like something you guys would really enjoy checking out, but tell us about some of the Revolutionary battlefields you've been to.
I was supposed to do it last year, but I didn't have the time to do it. I think I was in, like, New Jersey or something, doing something else. But what happened was actually Horatio Gates, I'm pretty sure, wanted to retreat, but Benedict Arnold completely refused, so he rode on his horse down to the field and won the battle.
And you mentioned Benedict Arnold getting wounded. There's called the Benedict Arnold, it's kind of the boot monument. They have a monument just to his boot. And there it's a kind of an engraving at the spot where he was wounded at the Battle of Saratoga. So very cool spot. But what were you going to say? You've been to many battlefields too?
Yeah, like I live in Connecticut and there's a lot of stuff like in Connecticut.
Absolutely.
Like around that area also.
He also died of gout, I think, after being shot in the leg twice. I don't know if that's actually why he died of gout, but it's might have played a factor in being shot in the leg twice. I mean, being shot in the leg twice back then was very lethal because the bullets were little circles that when they were lodged in your leg, you'd have to almost open up your leg and the wound, which would really, really hurt just to get that bullet out. And then you'd have to sew it back up. And at that point, you've already lost at least a gallon of blood.
Yeah, like
like
George Washington, he died of like suffocation because he had like a strep throat and they were like doing the bloodletting thing. And he lost like 52 or something like that gallons of blood, and then since that he died.
See, I could sit here and talk revolutionary with you guys all day. It's amazing to see the passion you guys have. And you guys, you're both 12, so you're only going to get learn more and more as you get older. And you think about how much you know now and how much you're going to know. Tell us a little about this event, though, today. What have you guys done so far? Have you guys been out there marching? Have you guys been doing any demonstrations yet?
Yeah, we did like one performance out there, and I'm pretty sure there's more after that.
Okay, so yeah, we have done one performance so far. If you're here, you might notice that it is very cold outside. So
yes,
we had to stop like by accident because mostly we did all the songs that we were supposed to, but our hands got really, really cold, and it's really hard to play the fife, which is the instrument I play. He plays drums, but it's really hard to play those when your fingers are literally freezing up.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's really hard.
And so I was playing the drums with my gloves on, but it's like so much easier with fingerless gloves. So I had to take them off, and then my hands were freezing.
Yeah.
So it was I could either play with my freezing hands or don't play with my warm hands.
It's tough. And you guys talk about the instrument thing. So on top of the uniform and all the other care and the studying you guys do, the instrument, obviously, you guys have to put a lot of practice into that as well, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay, so I don't know about you as much because you're new.
Yeah.
But I do a lesson at least once a week unless my teacher has to cancel, which he sometimes does, or I have to cancel on my part because of school and stuff like that. But I do read up a lot about history if we don't, so I can learn more about that. And during reenactments itself, if kids or other adults have questions, I'd actually be a help to them so I can tell them. Because my first reenactment, I remember not being able to tell them anything. Some guy asked, "So what is this group about?" And I was like, "Eric!" So, yeah, I was...
Well, you definitely know your stuff now. Tell me, what, for anybody your age who wants to get interested in the Revolution, what would you tell them about why it's so interesting? And is there a book maybe you would point them towards to kind of get started with?
So I have, the recommendation is if you live in the United States, even Europe, if you want to start that kind of reenactment business, if you are of legal age, I recommend, there's a gun law going that just passed, like, I don't know, 40 years ago, about how you can own any gun from 1893 and below.
Okay.
So if you want a Revolutionary War musket, you just have to get one, but they're quite expensive. But if you want it to be like an instrument, which is what me and him do, you just have to find a group in your area and then just ask if you can get lessons and then practice. And then if you keep on practicing, eventually you can get good enough to do these kind of reenactments, and you can have a blast, and it's really fun to dress up in this clothes. It does take a while to get in the clothes, but they're really comfortable sometimes in the right situations, like in summer when you're wearing all that wool, and it feels really good just to take your jacket off, and it's a lot of fun to do them every time we do them. So, like,
what about you, Brian?
The clothes, they could be really comfortable, but like, what it matters how the clothes are made. Cause I remember before I got these pants, I wore pants and they were like really uncomfortable, and they were scratching my leg, like whenever I walked, and that really annoyed me. But then I got these. Now I can walk and everything, and they're really comfortable.
You're a pro now, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, you guys are just amazing. I really enjoyed talking with you guys today. You look fantastic. You guys are going to be out there again later?
Yes, we are.
Cool. Well, hopefully we'll be able to catch you guys, but thank you for coming on. It's always amazing to talk to young guys who really know their stuff, and I haven't met too many who know as much about the Revolution as you guys have, and I really appreciate it. I hope you guys continue doing this, because it's a great thing to do, and you guys are helping make history come back alive. So, Ian, Brian, thank you guys for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, everyone, don't go anywhere.
Thanks.
Joe Artino, I'll be right back.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Arcino. We are broadcasting live from the historic Jay Estate in Rye, New York. We are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accorda Therapeutics. We are, of course, covering the launch of Revolutionary Westchester 250, educating people about the men and women behind America's independence. And we have another reenactor with us today, John Kish, who is part of the 2nd New York. John, thank you for coming on. We love talking to reenactors. You're our second guest of the day. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Okay, thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Well, as soon as a reenactor comes in the room, we pounce. We see you guys and we bring you over. You were nice enough to be a part of this. But obviously the first question we always ask is, what got you involved in this and how long you've been doing it?
Okay, my son got me involved in this. When he was a kid, maybe about 6-7 years old, he had seen a reenactment. He said, gee, I'd like to do this. And he had to be 16 in order to carry a musket. So I figured by the time he got to be 16, he'd outgrow it. But I was wrong. He wanted to join, so I took him to the events. And I would... All the events... And at that time, there was a lot of events taking place in Westchester, and big events. And I couldn't participate after the public had to leave because I was in civilian clothes, and I would have to go in the parking lot, and he'd be in the camp light. And it was nice. And then one of the reenactors, several weeks later or months later, had asked me, why don't you join? I said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that's how I became involved.
It's really cool. And your son is still a part of it, too.
Yes, he is.
So have you guys ever done anything together? Are you guys part of the same 2nd New York together?
Yes, second New York. And we used to, a lot of times, more in the past than it is now, at these events, we'd spend weekend at it, Friday, Saturday night, leave Sunday. And it's nice with the camp life and the fire and the camaraderie-ship with the other reenactors.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure it's do you guys camp out for during the cold, or is this or do you guys find other measures for that?
Well, we end up doing the Civil War and other events, and it's been in the cold, too.
Wow.
In the wintertime, and sometimes it's really quite cold.
It makes you think, you know, what it was like for the guys back then, when you're out there in the cold, and you think about what they were wearing, and especially on a cold day like this, right?
Yes, it is. And plus, it is cold, and there's no warmth into it. If you want to get warm, you have to go by a fire or something like that. Here, at least we could go into a building.
Yes. So tell us, today's event, what's it been like so far? You know, and what does it mean? You know, every time you get to go march out there, and you've got a crowd in front of you, is it cool? I mean, what's the feeling?
Well, I enjoy with the fact that the people get a big satisfaction out of it, and I guess we're projecting what life was back in the 17th, 18th century. So in that respect, it's rewarding.
Making history come alive is something that's very important.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to read about it, but when you see people dressed in the uniforms of the period and you have all the materials, it makes history come alive for people, and I think that means a lot.
Plus, a lot of people like the firearms. Like this.
Yes.
At the time in the 1870s, this was state of the art, and maybe you can get off 3 shots or 4 shots a minute.
That's what they usually say.
Yes.
How long have you had that weapon for a while, or?
Yes, I've had I guess at least a decade.
Wow, and it's held up for a long. Where do you buy something like that? Is it something that there's a special company who does it?
Well, this is a reproduction of it, this was made by Paracelli, and it's an Italian company, and it's giving me no problem.
Cool. And what about the uniform? You know, our first two guests, they talked about how part of their uniform was purchased, part of it they made themselves. Is it a similar case for you?
Yes, the same. Someone made my regimental jacket for me.
Cool. And you just see how much, I mean, detail. It's incredible with the buttons and everything like that. Do you have to do a lot of reading to make sure everything is perfect, or do you leave that up to the other people?
I leave it up to the other people. What I've heard in the past, when the 2nd New York started, they thought it was a brown uniform, and then later on they did research and they found out it was blue.
Okay.
So I was after that time, so I didn't have to make the brown one.
There you go. And you mentioned you and your son, you haven't just done the Revolutionary War, you've also done the American Civil War and other
yes.
things. Do you have a favorite period that you like to reenact for, or is it all, you all enjoy it no matter what it is?
It all has about the same feel for me. You know,
okay.
I followed him into all these different time periods. So if he wanted to go, he went to the Civil War. And it's the group that we're in, somebody in the group, they're doing Civil War, and they asked my son, well, why don't you come? And then he went, and then I went along with him, and that's how we got into, like, the French and Indian War, the Civil War, and World War One, and such like that.
Wow.
And even the... what you call the Boer War, he got
the Boer War.
Yeah.
That, I don't think there's so many people around here who know too much about that, so that is very
yeah.
cool. Obviously, your son took to this at a young age, so
yes.
did you push him towards history, or have you always been a passionate history buff?
I liked history, but I was never passionate about it.
Okay.
I enjoyed history, but...
So he kind of found it on his own.
Yes, he has a real passion for it. So, and I have it. At moments, it has its high points for me, but he enjoys it on a higher scale than I do.
Well, it's really cool to see, you know, as soon as you came in there, you're a tall guy too, so you stuck out right away.
Yes.
We love talking to you guys, and just, it's so easy, I mean, even you and I, the way we're talking, it's so easy to see how the passion, you could just tell how passionate you are about it, and the hat, I love the hat. Where'd you get the hat? Did you make that yourself, or did somebody else get that?
Well, now, it's a regular made hat, and then one of the members in had died, and this was a memento they put on the hat, and I just never taken it off.
Wow.
And then my son must have put this on, because I hadn't put this on. But I chose this as opposed to a 3/4 in cap, because it protects my face from the sun, because you have a brim over here. Otherwise, the other 3-corner cap doesn't. You're exposed to the sun. At least you got a little shade from the brim. And it's folded up on this side, because that's where you put your musket for when you put it on your shoulder, so that it accommodates the musket, so when it comes up to the shoulder like that.
And a demonstration. Well, John, I think everyone who listened today learned a lot, and hopefully people can still get down here and see you in action. But really appreciate your time today, John. Thank you for being part of the show.
Okay, thank you for inviting me.
You got it.
Bye.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Joe Arcino here, Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the historic Jay Estate in Rye, New York. Of course, we are produced by Shark Creative and possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accord Therapeutics. We are continuing here with the launch of Revolutionary Westchester 250, educating people about the real men and women behind America's independence. I have two very special special guest with me here right now, George Latimer, of course. I think everybody around Westchester knows you. And then, of course, we have our good friend Constance Keough, the Westchester 250 director. This is just incredible. I mean, there's reenactors, academics, so many important people here. I don't know what you guys, which one of you wants to start first, but for people at home who need to know about Revolutionary Westchester 250, tell us what we need to know.
Well, thank you, Joe, for having us. This is a chance to start looking at Westchester County as the pivotal part of the American Revolution. People go to Philadelphia, they go to Boston, they go to Virginia. But what they really should do is start looking at Westchester County, because so much happened here. It was a civil war here, and we have many, many stories to tell today. And we are very happy that the county of Westchester, including the tourism department, has been very supportive of our efforts to bring tourists here and really enrich the lives of adults and kids who live here, so they learn our history.
It's very important. And George, I mean, as we've just heard, this area, it played such a fundamental role in our War of Independence. What does it mean to you to be involved in such a special thing like this?
Well, I think it's very important to recognize just what you've said, because the Westchester that we live in today, I'm 65 years old, I've been here for 65 years, is a suburban county, wealthy county outside of New York City, corporate headquarters and so forth. We have to imagine Westchester very differently 250 years ago. It was a county of farmers, small farmers. We were caught in the middle between Connecticut in New York City, between Tories and rebels, or patriots, as we would call them. And this very much was an area that was in play. The Battle of White Plains, Heathcote Hill, some of the famous names in history came through this county in those days. General George Washington, John Adams. We have up the road from where we are the historic square house where Washington slept and Adams slept. In this site was where John Jay, one of our founding fathers, was originally born, and then the home of Peter Jay, his son. So we have to stretch back past what we see and know to a different Westchester that, as Constance said, played a pivotal role in our becoming an independent nation.
It's so important. And Constance, tell us a little bit about, obviously, so much work has to go into making something like this happen. We're building up to the 250th anniversary, obviously, but I mean, I'm sure there's so much credit that belongs to you and so many other people for making all these attempts to make sure our history is properly honored and respected.
Well, yes, it takes many, many people. There are the mighty volunteers that Westchester County is well known for. I'm just one of them, but what I've done over the last 6 months, when I got support from Katie Height, who is the executive director of the Westchester County Historical Society, she encouraged me to get involved, and I went to Bedford, I went to Yonkers, I went to Van Cortlandville, I went to Tarrytown, of course. Now, that's one of the best stories.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that one, Joe?
Well, there's a lot, but tell us for the people at home who don't know.
Well, that's the great story of the traitor, Benedict Arnold, and Major Andre, who tramped back and forth through Westchester, and except for a very honest farmer in Tarrytown, West Point might have been British. So we think we have the best stories to tell about Westchester County.
You know, it's one of those things, and George, you mentioned how many of the important names of the Revolution all were involved in this area. Washington, I mean, you name it. It's amazing when you think that these people who were all here today because of the Washingtons and because of the Adamses, and they had a hand in this area. It's amazing. I think a lot of people don't always think about that.
Well, again, you know, because of who we are today, we forget who we once were. And I think it's important to recognize when you look at the structure of the original 13 colonies, which became the original 13 states, New York was a pivotal location between New England and the access to the Mid-Atlantic and the South. The Hudson River was a critical water route. In those days, we didn't have trains, much less interstate highways. And so the Hudson River Vancouver was a major path to the interior of what were those colonies. And, of course, the British in the Battle of Saratoga sought to cut off New England from the rest of the colonies, and that resistance was a critical part of how we managed to survive. And also, Washington's troops, when he was through this area, was outmanned by the British. The fact that the army stayed afloat, that it survived, it managed to retreat out of what could have been a devastating loss of manpower and ultimately the revolution. Years later, we look back on the revolution as if it was an automatic reality, and it wasn't.
It was almost a miracle.
Right,
as George Washington himself said, and that's what I want. Let's do something fun for a minute. Can you guys give me your favorite revolutionary figure? For me, it's George Washington. I admire so much his resilience in the face of insurmountable difficulties. Like I just mentioned, he said at the end of the war, it was almost a miracle what we did, but through it all the challenges, he kept the army together. He kept it all going. He's my hero of history. But what about you guys? Who is your revolutionary figure? You picked
a good one, Joe.
I think so.
I'm very fond of the French general, Rochambeau.
Oh.
Rochambeau came.
We would not have won if it was not for him.
And spread out over Dobbs Ferry, Ardsley, Hartsdale, into White Plains with his soldiers. And he and Washington had a great powwow. But back to my story about Benedict Arnold, John Paulding might be the farmer, the common guy who saved the day. So I don't know. Can I name two?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things that's amazing about the revolution, then George is going to give us his, is it was just as much about the common people as it was the Washingtons and the Nathaniel Greens. It was also the common people. But George, who is your favorite revolutionary
figure? Well, I don't think any of us can quibble with Washington because he was the ultimate figure. But if we're going to look secondarily, I'm going to vote for a Westchester persona, Thomas Paine.
Very good one.
When Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense, that pamphlet reached the average person of the colonies and made a case for revolution and independence that needed to be made. We talk a lot of times, those of us in government, about having the hearts and minds of people with you. It's not enough just to have the authority to act. You have to have the popular will to act. And Common Sense was a pivotal part of creating the mindset by which American farmers felt that it was important to be able to have their own independent future. And of course, the proof of the pudding is in all of these years that the American independence experiment has continued on with democracy. And it's an imperfect system, but it's better, as Churchill said, than every other form of government known to mankind.
I think this is great stuff here. I know you guys have got a lot to do. So tell us, obviously there's a lot of places people go. You could go to rw250.org, and then you could also email 1776rw250@gmail.com. Obviously people go there, but what else should we be looking forward to? What else can people expect as we move forward?
Well, I think that this is the planning stage. This is the stage to get people excited and aware and realize that our effort is working with you, working with the very local communities who say, like Hastings did. We met the folks at Hastings. They're presenting today. They said, hey, we need some help with our research. And Eric Weiselberg, who is the historian working with me, he was willing to help them to make sure that the work they were doing on a monument was going to have good history. So working with you, local historical societies, email me and I will let them know what we could do to help them.
Well, this is really something special. And if it's anything like this turnout we've had here today, we've got a lot more exciting things to expect. George, what else are you really excited for moving forward?
Well, what I think is most important here is this is an opportunity for young people, our children, in my case, my grandchildren, but for young people to understand what the Revolutionary War was all about. It's not a stale date in a history book. It was the living, breathing sense of all men are created equal. It was the living sense of creation of post-revolution, a constitution that we still govern under today, and that this is all about self-determination, self-governance. When you grow up in an environment, you take for granted certain things. We take for granted freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. These were not automatic things in the vast majority of countries that have ever existed in this world. And so the next generation of Americans have to be prepared to understand what it is, because the defense of freedom comes to every generation in due time, whether it's through a war or an economic difficulty where you have to hold on to those principles to get you through a tough time. The men and women of that era 250 years ago went through a very tough time in this county to move to independence and freedom. And so we, their great, 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 great grandchildren, although I'm an immigrant, a couple generations back, represent us having to learn the same lessons and to show the same fortitude in the face of our problems today.
I could not agree more. We should never take for granted how lucky we are to be right here, right now, and have the liberties we do. And that all started with the American Revolution 250 years ago. You guys are doing phenomenal work. Thank you for stopping by and sharing some time with us today. Cannot wait to continue to cover this. And before we end, I just want to say two of the first guests we had on today were two 12-year-olds, part of the reenacting group. It was so inspiring to hear how passionate they were about the revolution. And if that's any indication of what Westchester's youth and adults alike are going to be learning during this period, we're in store for some great stuff. So thank you so much, Constance. George, thank you for your time today. This is phenomenal. We can't wait to be a part of it moving forward. Everyone, I'm Joe Arcino. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
With a diverse population and close proximity to New York City, there's no better place to do business than Westchester County. And the Office of Economic Development is in business to help you do business in Westchester. From services and programs to help businesses just starting out or expanding, to incentives for businesses looking to remain in or relocate to Westchester, we help businesses thrive in Westchester. Find out what the Office of Economic Development can do for your business. Just click business.westchestergov.com to learn more.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the historic Jay Estate in Rye, New York. I'm your host, Joe Arcino. We are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower, Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accord Therapeutics. It is my great honor to be continuing with this program. Of course, we are covering the launch of Revolutionary Westchester 250, educating people about the great men and women about behind America's independence. And right now we have Cynthia Kaufman, who portrays Ann Fisher Miller. Thank you for being a part of the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, one of my favorite things to do is talk to people who do the reenactments, because it's a passion, it's an art, it takes a lot of skill, it takes a lot of knowledge. So I have a great admiration for anyone who does this. How long have you been involved in reenacting?
About 4 years.
4 years, wow.
It started when the Miller House, which is George Washington's headquarters, that's owned by the county, had fallen into disrepair. And in order to try to spur on the repair of that, we created our organization, which is the Daughters of Liberty's Legacy, to help keep alive the legacy of women like Ann Fisher Miller, who supported the troops during the Revolutionary War. People hear a lot about soldiers, but you don't hear about the families that were left behind.
Absolutely, and it's one of those things where when you read or when you see anything, it's always the soldiers and things like that are the forefront, but those guys couldn't do their job if it wasn't for other people during those days who did their role. What does it mean to you to be able to keep history like that alive?
The best way to explain it would be when I was in fifth grade, the school that I went to was actually on Miller Hill, which is where this house was. And the teacher had us write a little play and create costumes and walk over the hill and go to the George Washington's headquarters, which at that time was open. And we were able to go through the tour, and the people who were dressed as colonial reenactors told us the story. And history became something that was no longer old names and dusty pages of so long ago that it didn't mean anything. It happened in the place where we lived. And it stuck with me forever. And oddly enough, many years later, now I am getting to be Ann Fisher Miller and research her life and bring back the story of her and women like her. Because most women's records are lost because they're not written about, and they often didn't write on their own.
That really is amazing. For you, talk about the preparation level, though. I mean, I'm sure to know these people like a textbook has to be so important. What is your preparation like when you're getting involved? And tell us a little bit about the outfit that you have. Is that something you made yourself? Is that something that there's a company who makes? How does that work?
There are people who make them.
Okay.
There's a woman who makes these, and you ask her for what you're looking for. Parts of it you add onto it yourself. Back in those days, it would have been completely handmade by whoever was in the home, and they probably only had one outfit if they did. And as far as the research on her in particular, who I'm focused on, there's very little written, but there were obituaries and things written about her because her home was used during the Revolutionary War as quarters for many generals, including Washington. So a little bit of her life was written about, and the rest of it that I have put together comes from research on women of the time that were written about or did writings of their own, and I take their sentiments and words and apply them to her where they seem to fit to create the life of a woman where there really isn't enough.
Is there enough where there's something you would maybe say you admire the most about her, or is it just everything in general?
The strength and the resilience of the women who lived then. Not only did they live through a war, which here in Westchester was a lot more violent than in many places, because there really wasn't one side or the other. We were called a neutral ground, and everyone had a different opinion, and it was a very violent place.
They're applauding you, I would think, from the terrific interview so far.
That would be nice. Go ahead.
I think obviously when we look at everything that's coming ahead, there's so many great things coming ahead for Revolutionary 250, Revolutionary Westchester 250. Tell people who are going to want to be a part of this, what are they going to see when they go to the Miller House? What are they going to learn when they talk to you and they see where Washington was and they see where this history took place?
They'll be able to experience what it's like firsthand from people who can explain it. When you can see it, taste it, if there's food, smell it, touch it, and learn from someone, it's a better learning experience, particularly for children. And if you saw the reenactors today, we had a lot of children here.
Yes.
Who are learning a lot more about history by portraying it than they can from a book. And they'll learn a lot more about it from meeting with someone where they can come and experience it. So hopefully the house will be open to tell the story of what happened there. Generals were quartered throughout the war. General Washington was there three different times. And the history where you lived helps you to understand why things around you are like they are. Like this place being preserved here. When people come, it's not just a building, but they get to learn about the Jay family and history associated with that.
It's so important. And reenacting, like you said, it makes history come alive. And we, you know, we had the great honor of having two 12-year-olds on who were part of the reenacting group.
Okay.
To hear the passion they have for the revolution, and you always hear people say, you know, our history is not being taught well enough and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, those two kids are a great testament to the knowledge that is out there and the passion that I think this event in this all these events we're going to have coming up is going to help grow. I know obviously Ann Miller Fisher Miller has got to be your favorite revolutionary character, but if it aside from her, is there another one you say? It's a question I've been asking everyone on so far. I think we all have our favorite. Mine's George Washington, but obviously you portray Ann Fisher Miller, but is there someone aside from her who you've always respected and admired?
Actually, George Washington and Martha Washington. George Washington truly won the war through inspiring the soldiers to continue on after things looked very bleak. In Anne's life, actually, her husband and two sons died in the Revolutionary War.
They served in the Continental Army?
They served, and they were gone by the end of 1776. She had lost both of them. And it was very difficult on the families. It was very difficult on soldiers who were injured. And for General Washington to continue to inspire them to fight for something that seemed unwinnable in many times is a hero. And his wife was very much right behind him.
Yes. She was there with him many times during the war. I mean, she would always be there with him. It's a great,
yeah,
great partnership that they had.
And she would help with soldiers, and she would see that they ate before she did. And she was a very kind and giving woman. So I think the support of two of them helped everyone to move on with the battle that took a lot longer to win than anyone had expected it to.
Towards the end of the war, he said it was almost a miracle, and it really almost was, but he kept it all together. No matter what the setback, no matter what problems befell them, he just had that unwavering desire to see it through, and he did. You're a part of keeping part of his legacy and history alive at his headquarters, so I'm sure for you, it sounds like you're as big a Washington buff as I am. That's got to be an incredible feeling.
It's very nice to be able to include him in the story of her life.
That's so cool. Well, Cynthia, I think we all learned a lot today. I'm sure you're going to be a part of a lot of these events we have moving forward, and hopefully the Miller House is going to get a lot more traction as more and more people around this area learn and take part in these festivities.
I hope so. It's finally being repaired, and it's probably at least a year-long process before it's ready for people to come. But we'll be certain to let everybody know when it's open.
I will certainly be there, and I can't. And hopefully you will be there
to give
the tour, and hopefully we can interview again then.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much.
Cynthia, thank you very much. Everyone, I'm Joe Arcino. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark Creative.